Good morning. I'd like to welcome each one of you to our service here this morning. It's good to see you here today on a day it's rainy outside, but it's nice and warm in here, and the sun's shining in here. So I just want to extend a special welcome to any guests who may be worshiping with us today. We're glad you're here. I'd like to for you to receive this call to worship this morning. God, who spoke the world into being, speak your wisdom among us today. We seek your wisdom to live in peace with you. God, who loves the world extravagantly, draw us near to your heart this day. We seek to know your perfect love that drives out all fear. God, who gives bread to the hungry, fill us with the courage to freely share the bread of your word. We seek your power to loosen our tongues, that the whole world might rejoice to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. So I'd like to invite the worship team to come and to lead us in this time of singing, worship, and song. And I invite you to join and unite our voices together in praise of our awesome God.
Well, I invite the ushers to come forward at this time as we're going to take the offering. This morning is for the Bishop Support Fund, and there's also the My Coins Count. Thank you. stand if you're able.
But I will hold my ground.
thank you so much that we can come to your house this morning to worship you. I thank you so much that you are the everlasting God, and that because of you, we don't have to be slaves to fear anymore. And I just want to pray that you'd bless Carl right now as he speaks this morning, just that you'd speak your words and that we would all have hearts open and ready to hear what you have to say to us this morning. Amen.
And thank you, worship team, for leading us in that. I try to manage my schedule so not too many things converge, but I didn't do too well this morning. But so I'm coming from Red Run, where I had the message, and now I'm glad, very glad to be here, though. And I'm really glad to report that the Youth Pastor Search Committee has a report for you from their first meeting. And just share that as well. It's from the Youth Discernment Team, Tammy Becker, Rhonda Brubacher, Carrie Howler, Dan Martin, Shane Martin, Larry Weber, and myself. As a team, we had our first meeting on Tuesday, January 23, to pray together, to review our assignment, and to plan the way forward. We plan to meet again on Monday evening, February 19. And in the meantime, we invite you to give any ideas or names for us to consider in our discernment. You can do this by talking to Pastor Larry in person or calling him by Sunday, February 18. And if you plan to offer a name for us to consider, we encourage you to pray, to review the job description, and to reflect on the biblical qualities for leaders. And we list two scriptures in the announcement there as well. Let's pray for this team. Lord, we ask your guidance on this team as we seek your will. We pray, too, for the youth and for those giving leadership at this time, and for Jesse as he continues to fulfill his responsibilities here as our youth pastor at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, there's something else I guess I should get off my mind. I do confess that I'm not a sports fan, but I also do have, I can appreciate a clever church announcement outside, and so one that I saw on Facebook went something like this. A Methodist church had this sign in front: how many verses in the Bible are about Eagles and Patriots? And the answer: Eagles 33, Patriots 0. And one of the things I do, I have opportunity to write the minister's message in effort to review several times a year, and I like to read what other pastors read, and it just so happened that this week's, I was working on my sermon before I read this in the Ether Review. It's by Tim Craven, a Lutheran pastor, but it meshed exactly with what I was already thinking, because he wrote here, he says, one of the mistakes Christians of all kinds often make is that they are somehow responsible for their own salvation. This was the problem which terrorized the young Martin Luther, because he knew he was a sinner, no matter how good he was. And then Luther read from Romans chapter 3, and a weight was lifted from him as he discovered that we are saved not by what we do, but by faith in Jesus Christ. And we call this grace. Salvation is God's work. Our work is discipleship. And I felt affirmed by that. And so even as I thought about this, the fear of defeat or failure, it came to my mind as I had meditated on this that discerning God's part and our part is very essential in our lives. And that is why I chose on the outline in the bulletin the 3 points: our inheritance, which is God's part, what he's giving us. And the second point there would be the Lord's faithfulness. That is also God's part. Now, if you want to know what little part we have, you have to stay awake till we get to that third point. But it'll probably be very short. And, you know, as I meditated on this before I get into those passages, this was a helpful meditation to me. Sometimes when I have a word from the Lord, I like to write notes for myself here and there, or different places at my desk or somewhere else at my table. And the word that I've been writing the last number of weeks is, you can't do everything, but you can do something. Now, that's not a verse, but maybe it should be, but I'm sure the thought is there somewhere. God's part and our part. And you know, all of us, we meet obstacles in life and in our work. I meet obstacles in ministry. And I might have a weakness towards, what shall we call it? Maybe just directly call it self-pity. So sometimes I might pray something like this to the Lord: God, is this the way Christian people act? And I'm expecting God to say something like, yeah, it's terrible, isn't it, Carl? But he doesn't. I say, God, is this the way Christian people act? Yes, it is. Skip your self-pity and get up and get to work. Okay. And then I'm reminded of that word, you can't do everything, but you can do something. So I just like to, before I get into that outline, I'd like to read two of the scriptures that are listed there. First of all, I want to read Deuteronomy 31, 7 and 8. And then I want to read again Joshua 1, 1 to 7. And thinking about our inheritance, God's faithfulness, and our part. Deuteronomy 31, verses 7 and 8. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you, and he will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Joshua 1, the first seven verses. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Point number one is our inheritance. And an inheritance is a gift. It is not our wages. It is not our salary. It's a gift. So the first point, Joshua 1:3 there, and I have a little statement for if there's any note takers in this group. For each one of these, I have a little phrase. And Joshua 1:3 is the words, I will give you. I will give you. That word give, related to the word gift, related to our word grace. They're all the same. It is something that is not earned. And then the next scripture listed there is Philippians 3, verses 8 and 9. And for this, I'm saying in summary, the righteousness that comes from God. The righteousness that comes from God. And reading that text from Philippians 3, what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. See, the righteousness that comes from God. Now, of course, one who receives an inheritance is called an heir. And the next passage, and the phrase I associate with a passage from Titus, is this phrase, heirs of eternal life. Heirs of eternal life. We receive eternal life not because we earn it, not because we deserve it. And as this verse will say, it's all because of the kindness and the love and the generosity and the mercy of God and the renewing of the Holy Spirit within us, which is also a gift. Titus 3:3-7. At one time, we all were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, who he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. We are heirs of eternal life. And the next verse I have listed there is Acts 20, verse 32. It's part of a long prayer by the Apostle Paul when he's saying goodbye to the Christians at Ephesus. But it includes a very significant phrase, which I picked out of that verse. It is this phrase, the word of his grace. The word of his grace. Again, emphasizing that God's salvation and his promises to us are the gift of God. Acts 20:32, now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you, what? An inheritance among all those who are sanctified. That inheritance that we possess is the gift of God. Moving to point number two concerning the Lord's faithfulness, I list there Joshua 1:5. It's also in Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. I will never leave you or forsake you. I will never leave you or forsake you. The words of the Lord, and I believe that the words of the Lord to us. I'm reminded of that great passage in Romans 8:37-39, that in summary says, nothing will separate us from God's love. Nothing will separate us from God's love. Romans 8:37-39. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing will separate us from God's love. And as I thought on that assurance, my mind went to the last verse in the Gospel of Matthew, where we have the precious words of the Lord Jesus, I am with you always. I am with you always, Matthew 28:20. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And then I have in the next verse is from Revelation. I had someone say to me this week that I don't really understand the book of Revelation. I just read about all those horses. And then I thought about, well, here's a verse about a horse that we can understand. More specifically about the rider on the horse. Revelation 19:11. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. Now, that then those words Faithful and True are capitalized because they are official names. It's the name. It's the name for Jesus. Faithful and True is his name, which emphasizes this, that all the promises of Jesus are true. Furthermore, he will fulfill all his promises because his name is faithful. And that's who he is. And it is that same Lord Jesus who said, Revelation 22:12, "Behold, I am coming soon." And also in the book of Revelation, we read about how there is coming a time when there will be no more tears or death or sorrow or pain, for the old order of things will all be passed away. And these are the promises given by faithful and true. So for me, on my message this morning, I just want it to be an encouragement. I know we're having these messages on fear. I'm not using the word fear that much in this message, but I am emphasizing the fact that our inheritance is from God. It is sure. And furthermore, that the Lord is faithful to all his promises. And now I come to the part three, has to do with our part. First of all, Joshua 1:3, the commandment, set your foot. Or let me say it another way, take the next step. In the challenges that we face in life, sometimes it's difficult for us to know how we can possibly move forward, but at this phrase, set your foot, take the next step in faith, in the assurance of God's promises. And Joshua 1:7 then, that's repeated, this phrase is repeated in many of the passages I read, be strong and very courageous. Also a commandment to us when we're speaking of our part. And then the next passage I have, 2 Chronicles 20:17. The phrase I'm lifting out there is the phrase to stand firm. But that verse is part of a larger context, which is a story, which let me just try to summarize it briefly. It's from 2 Chronicles 20, verses 15 to 21, and it's the story of King Jehoshaphat and the nation of Judah. And King Jehoshaphat was facing a vast army. He did not know what to do. And this is what the Lord said to him. The Lord said, "The battle is not yours, but God's." The battle is not yours, but God's. Now, that's not the phrase I'm picking out, because that's the first part of my message, that we belong to God and we are in his hands and we trust God. The battle belongs to God, but this is what he says to King Jehoshaphat. He says, "You will not have to fight this battle." And yet, there is something for Jehoshaphat to do. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance of the Lord. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Take your position, stand firm. This battle is not yours, it's the Lord's, and just stand and see. And, well, Jehoshaphat did one other thing. He organized a choir. And they sang this song, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." I don't know the tune, but that was what they sang. And the Lord did fight that battle for them. And that the idea that Jehoshaphat organized a choir suggests to me the next passage from Colossians chapter 1, 10 to 12, that I have listed there in the outline. And I would connect that by saying that this is about giving joyful thanks to God. Giving joyful thanks to God. That is our part. Colossians 1, 10 to 12, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father. What for? Who has qualified you to share in the inheritance, to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. Our part is to set our feet forth and to take a step in faith, to be strong and very courageous, to stand firm, and to give thanks to God. When I thought about that, standing, I thought of a benediction as we sometimes use. I already quoted a blessing from Acts 20, 32, but also the one from Jude, verse 24, that goes like this: to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. And I thought of another blessing, talking about benedictions. Larry said he'll do the benediction today. That'll be the fourth one, and that's good. I don't know which, but this is the one I just read in the last issue of the Purpose magazine, a poem, a blessing. Blessed are you who believe. When confusion reigns, when mountains loom high, when faith is tried. Blessed are you who believe when dark clouds gather and storms rage, when calamities come crashing in. Blessed are you who believe when all around is changing. You cling to the unchanging one, your joy secure in God. Let's pray together. Yes, Lord, this morning we are rejoicing. We're rejoicing in our inheritance. And we are acknowledging that this is of your grace, that this is a gift, that you have given it to us, that we have not earned it, that we don't deserve it, and that we don't need to be involved in futile motions to somehow sustain it, but we receive it as a gift from your loving hand because you have loved us from eternity. And even when we fell away in sin, you pursued us and you brought us back. And so we're rejoicing in the inheritance of the saints, and we're taking hold of that by faith. And Lord, we also are acknowledging the great and wonderful principle that you will never leave us. You will not forsake us. You are faithful to all the promises that you have made. Then Jesus, you are the rider of the white horse, faithful and true are your name. And so we pray, Lord, that this would be so impressed upon our mind that we would be aware of the great, great love that you have for us. And Lord, we recognize, too, that you would encourage us through the Spirit that we might be able to take a step in faith, even in the midst of challenges which come upon us, that we would take a step in faith. And Lord, that we would also be able to be strong and show courage and stand firm and be able to, by the Spirit, by faith, see what you are working out, knowing that the battle is yours and is not ours. And Lord, I pray too that you would nurture in each of us that heart of gratitude, which is our responsibility, to praise you, God, for your love is perfect. Your love endures forever, that we might be people of praise and people of joy. And I pray now for each person here, Lord. You know the circumstances of our lives. You know the challenges that we are facing. And I pray for the strengthening of each of our hearts that we might be able to move forward in faith and love and serve you and be to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm
Well, thank you, Carl, for your words this morning, and reminding us that God has promised he will never leave us or forsake us, but will always be there, and that we would have a heart that is thankful and praising God. So may we take those words with us today as we leave, to remember that God will never leave us or forsake us. All his promises are true, and we have a responsibility, I believe, to thank God for all those many, many promises that he's given to us in his word. So thank you, Carl. May God bless you. I'd like for you to stand to receive the parting blessing and benediction. I'd also like to include in my prayer this morning a prayer for Janet and Alvin Good, as Janet is in the hospital this morning, recovering from pneumonia, and Alvin is also scheduled for heart surgery on February the 5th. So we just want to lift them before the throne this morning as we depart. So join me in prayer. Father, we do thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your promise that you will never leave us or forsake us, but you'll always be there. And I just want to pray for Janet this morning as she's spending time in the hospital, that you would surround her with your presence, that she would remember that you promised you will never leave her or forsake her. And also we lift Alvin up to your throne of grace as he's experiencing heart surgery in the future, in February the 5th. I pray you would surround the good family with your peace and with your comfort, and may they know your presence in a very powerful way. And now receive this benediction from 2 Corinthians 13:15. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. God bless you. Go in peace.